This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The 9-12 Orioles face the 9-13 Nationals tonight. First of 3 at Nats Park. And joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline covers the Nats for Masson. It's Mark Zuckerman. And Mark, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So the Nats so far, the Orioles has been a bit of a struggle and a disappointment so far. But from a Nats perspective, the season so far, other than James Wood, what have you really liked about the Nats so far?
Hey, guys, I think really the thing that stands out so far is the starting pitching, which they had some hopes for coming in, but maybe didn't know it was going to be quite this good. Mackenzie Gore has been dominant a couple of times. The other times out, not as much. Mitchell Parker, who goes tonight, has been their most consistent starter with an ERA under 2 and averaging more than 6 innings per start. Jake Irvin has been good as well. They've needed it because the bullpen's been a disaster, and so they need as many innings as they can get from the starters. But that's probably been the most pleasant surprise, along with, obviously, James Wood has just gotten off to a fantastic start to the season.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like Wood is so much more comfortable now, and that probably bore itself out the most obvious fashion right when they moved him to the leadoff spot, and then he's having 6-7 pitch at-bats and launching 430-foot opposite field bombs.
Yeah, and it's funny, Jason, because that wasn't necessarily the plan. C.J. Abrams is the leadoff hitter, but when he went on the IL about 10 days ago, they decided, hey, let's put the big guy up there and see how he does. He's really done well with it. And for a young kid, he has a good eye at the plate. He's very patient, so he's not afraid to work the count and get the 2 strikes, but then still has the ability, as you said, to hit it 450 feet and lead off a game with a home run, which he's done a couple of times so far. So I'll be interested. CJ's on a rehab assignment tonight in Harrisburg. I don't know if he's going to need 1 or 2 days. Maybe we'll see him before the end of the series. When he comes back, does he just automatically go to the leadoff spot, or would they actually keep Wood in that position?
Dylan Cruz got off to a really slow start, but he's currently riding a 6-game hitting streak. Do you see him starting to get out of this slump?
Yeah, and I think everybody felt like it was a matter of time. You don't get drafted number 2 in the country, and really would have been number 1 if not for his LSU buddy Paul Skeens. You're not picked that high unless you have some real talent. And I know it's been a little bit of a struggle so far since he was called up late last season, but you can see the natural ability and the work ethic above all else. He's been trying hard. He was swinging at a lot of slop early on, breaking balls out of the zone. Started to get a little more under control, and when he finally homered, and he homered twice the other day in Colorado. Yeah, it was a Colorado shirt, but what he did was he drove both of them to the opposite field, to right center, almost carbon copies of each other. And he said that to him is a sign that his swing is in the right place. If he's hitting the ball in that direction with authority, that's a good sign. And so they hope that he is snapping out of it now. We're going to see the real Dylan Cruz. The thing I give him a lot of credit for is no matter how bad it was at the plate, his play in right field has been outstanding. And it shows that he does have that ability to separate the two parts of his game.
We're talking with Mark Zuckerman. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Mark, you mentioned the bullpen, and Kyle Finnegan's had a nice start to the year, but what's the problem with the rest of the pen? Obviously, this has not gone as planned.
No, not even close. They're not throwing strikes. It begins with that. Their walk rates are just insanely high. And when they're not walking guys, they're giving up hits. And, you know, they did not spend a lot of money this winter on anything, but especially in the bullpen. And they tried to go cheap. Your old buddy Jorge Lopez, he's mm-hmm. not been very good. Lucas Sims, who's been around for a while, but has always kind of been erratic. You know, they spent $3 million on each of them, and it hasn't worked so far. Colin Poche, who used to be with the Rays, they brought him in. He hasn't been able to throw strikes, and so it just kind of compounds on itself. And, you know, the other day we're in Denver. They're up 12-2 in the seventh inning. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, this is comfortable. And deep down you kind of knew maybe not. And sure enough, Finnegan has to come in and pitch the ninth and strand the tying runner at third to make it a 12-11 win. That's unfortunately where they've been. They've got to figure it out. I think one of these nights, I think Davey Martinez is going to have to start using some of his younger guys in higher leverage spots. Maybe it'll happen this week with Cole Henry and Jackson Rutledge, because eventually you can't just keep putting veterans out there if they're not performing.
Yeah, well, hey, try $15 million Charlie. You think you got problems. Try $15 million Charlie Morton, brother. Be thankful he's not pitching in this series, so hopefully there's no five-hour games. Mackenzie Gore was obviously a top prospect when they acquired him. He's someone who projected and profiled as a potential ace. He has, you know, been really good for them, obviously, but this year dominant, and the strikeout totals continue to soar. What's allowed him to sort of elevate things, Mark?
It's consistency is really the big thing. You look back last year, his good starts were off the charts good. Mm-hmm. The problem is his bad starts were off the charts bad. And he would have this habit of, once things start to kind of spiral on him, let it get out of control, and pitch counts would get really high. And all of a sudden, you know, he can't get out of the fifth inning because he's already up to 100 pitches. So far, it's early, but so far he's done a much better job of limiting the damage. So even in a couple of games where he hasn't maybe been at his absolute best, he's still finding a way to get through it, get at least through five, if not get to the sixth inning. And that's, it's really just maturity and experience. I think he has the mindset to want to be the number one guy. He's got the stuff obviously as well. It's just a matter now of kind of controlling those emotions and learning how, on the nights when you maybe aren't at your best, can you still put in a decent start, give up three runs instead of mm-hmm. six? And I think that's the biggest step, at least so far, that he's been able to take.
Mark, you said earlier that Mitchell Parker is on the mound tonight for the Nats, has been the Nats' most consistent starter. This is just his second full season in the big leagues. What has led him to this type of success?
The difference there, he is consistent. And while he may not blow you away, I mean, this is not a high draft pick, a highly touted prospect. They called him up last year because they had to when Josiah Gray got hurt. He made his major league debut at Dodger Stadium on Jackie Robinson Day, and the first three hitters he has to face are Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman. And he got through that and got the win and became the Nats' first rookie starter to win his major league debut since a guy named Steven Strasburg. Huh. So that tells you how long it had been for somebody to do that. And, you know, again, you're going to watch him, you're going to say there's nothing spectacular about him. He mostly throws fastballs up in the zone and a splitter changeup down in the zone, but he's got poise and he doesn't show any emotion one way or the other. And I think that's done well for him. And he had to earn the spot this spring. They, in theory, had a competition for the fifth spot in the rotation, and he won it. And he's just taken off since then and has given them at least six innings in every single start. And that's really all you can ask for out of a young guy like that.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Orioles can't hit left-handed pitching like at all. So that bodes in his favor this evening as well.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, they will. The Nationals will hope that holds true, and then we'll see. They do have one good lefty in the bullpen, Ferrer. Maybe he gets some extra work tonight, too.
We were having a little debate earlier. Obviously, Masson is not going to be broadcasting both these teams into the future, and who knows what if the Nats are going to Monumental or whatever. I still think we will call this series, because it's going to continue as a regional series, the Masson Cup, even if the Nats games are not on Masson. No. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you, Tim. No. Mark, would you agree with me that that's what the series will be called, or do you have other ideas?
Battle of the Beltways.
Well, I think it depends. While I'm a Masson employee still, I'll say yes, and then we'll see what happens after this. I mean, I think a lot of people do refer to it as the Battle of the Beltways more so, and it's been the players, it doesn't really mean much of anything to them, but it's fine if that's the case. If it means something to the fans, and you've got a lot of Oriole fans who, you know, grew up and still live closer to D.C. than Baltimore, and this is their best chance to come see the team, it makes for a good environment. And it's been nice to see over the years more Nats fans make the trip up to Baltimore as well. And maybe not as much since they started losing, but in their heyday there, 5-6 years ago, there were a good number of Nats fans there. So if it means something to the fans, then that's great. That's fine, even if the players don't. I'd still love to see it. We maybe only had it once or twice there where both teams were contending at the same time. I'd like to see that again and maybe have a later in the season matchup and see what that could do, because, you know, when you're playing in April, it's hard to really get that worked up about it.
Orioles and Nationals start a three-game series tonight, 6:45, first pitch. Mark Zuckerman covers the Nats for Masson. Mark, thank you as always, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
We'll come back at the text of the day, preview tomorrow's show, and get you ready for Boardy and the Bone. It's Baltimore baseball tonight at 5:30 here on The Fan.